Chapter 11. Heroes. Paul had always questioned the necessity for radio silence between Earth and Ad Astra. It assumed the others were so inattentive and stupid that they wouldn't know we were on our way. Of course, our presence would be obvious after turnaround, with a gazillion horsepower matter annihilation engine blasting in their direction. The little probe that preceded us would deal with that by sending a warning and a message of peace well before we turned around and started blasting, decelerating. What if they destroyed the probe before it delivered the message? What if it delivered the message and the others destroyed us anyway? What if they weren't on a Wolf 25 planet after all? We went along with the order, and were resigned to not hearing from anyone on Earth for another 3.4 years. Paul kept the radio on, though, in case things changed. On July 10th, 2088, things did. A 52-second message came from Earth. He called us all together in the lounge, Martians and humans, and played it back for us. "This is Laszlo Motkin, just elected president of the world. One reason I was elected was that I wanted to change your mission and make it more in line with what the Earth's people really want. You are the finest heroes in Earth's history, hurtling into the unknown on a mission that will almost surely end with your deaths. We ask that you make this grim probability a glorious certainty. Rather than slowing down, we would ask you to continue accelerating, going almost at the speed of light, and invisible until the last moment, you will strike the enemy planet with 10,000 times the force of the meteorite that brought about the extinction of the dinosaurs. Even the ungodly science of the others cannot protect them from this apocalyptic assault. Please answer that you have heard and are willing to give your life in this noble enterprise. God bless you and keep you." We all just stared at each other. "Who is that guy?" I said. "Laszlo what?"
"Motkin," Namir said. "He's a Q-vangelist."
"Powerful signal," Paul said. "Pretty tight laser." Namir shrugged. "He has lots of money, or did when money meant something and a powerful broadcast site in the Atlantic, beyond the 7-mile limit. He could do it once."
"Once?" Paul said.
"They'll have people like me in the water in 30 minutes. Homeland Security. Unless Reverend Motkin really is president of the world, he's about to have a serious accident."
"Or had it about a week ago," Paul said.
"It's hard to get used to that. He was arrested or dead before that message was a tenth of the way here."
"What if he really is king of the world?" Moonboy said. "Or president or whatever. Some pretty loony people have made it to the top. Even in normal times."
"I still wouldn't feel I had to kill myself on his behalf," Dustin said.
"Besides, the order is stupid," Paul said. "We don't know for certain which planet in the Wolf 25 system is their home world.
There was a cold Earth planet that seemed likely, but also two gas giants with Triton-sized satellites.
As we get closer, we might be able to tell which one it is," Moonboy said.
"It would probably be the one with all the missiles rising up to greet us."
"Maybe not," Namir said.
"If we stopped accelerating the last month or so, we'd be coming in cold. They might not detect us until it was too late to respond. We'd still be going at 99% the speed of light."
"You're not arguing in favor of this kamikaze scheme," Elza said.
"Not this particular one, president of the world, but it's always been a possible strategy."
"As I said before," Snowbird said, If we're going to die anyhow, we could still exercise some control over the situation that way.
No, I said. I didn't sign up for a suicide mission. Besides, even if we knew what planet they were on, we don't know who else might inhabit it. It might be like destroying Earth just to get Laszlo what's-his-name.
Which might be happening even as we speak, Namir said. Or after however long it takes his message to be picked up by the others.
Comforting prospect, I said.
And an interesting thought experiment, Moonboy said. If they did destroy the Earth, should we try to destroy them in turn? Or should we go someplace safe and try to restart the human race?
I'm a fearsome interstellar warrior, Namir said. I'm not changing diapers.
I don't think we have any diapers aboard, I said, nor ovulating women.
I can fix the ovulation, Elza said, and we could improvise diapers and such. But really, where could we go to play Adam and Eve if we couldn't go back to Earth?
Mars, Flying Amber said. It's a nicer place anyhow. We got the ersatz news broadcasts from Earth, but of course they weren't beamed, and were too weak and distorted by noise to be worth everyday amplifying and cleaning up. Namir had some experience and expertise to apply to it, though, and eventually had decoded about 6 hours of broadcasts prior to noon of July 3rd, when Laszlo Motkin had made his imperial request. All we found were two small stories, one a pro forma announcement that Laszlo was going to run for president of the United States on a third-party ticket, and the other a human interest story about how he and his wife formed the Free America Party and, working through several religious denominations, got enough signatures and funding to put himself on the ballot in several southern states. So, how to interpret the tight beam message to us? Probably just a crazy rant. But suppose the rest of the news was sanitized, and there really had been a theocratic revolution in the United States. Paul raised that possibility during dinner, rehydrated mushrooms fried with pretty convincing butter over corn cakes, with actual green onions from the farm, our first crop.
Doesn't make sense, Dustin said. Unless it's a very level-headed theocracy. Why would they censor the news of their victory?
Maybe they're not idiots, Namir said, even if theocrats might not want to invite the others to their victory parade.
The real question is what our response should be, Paul said. I'm inclined to play it straight, tell them thanks, but no thanks. We're going to stick with the original plan.
Which is to make it up as we go along, I said.
Or just don't respond at all, Namir said.
He sent that a week ago. He knows our answer would take a week or 8 days. If he's still in control of that powerful laser transponder a couple of weeks from now, that tells us something.
Meryl shook her head.
You're presupposing that the Earth authorities are aware that he's done this. I think he's just a rich fruitcake out in the middle of the ocean with his laser transponder and delusions of grandeur.
In which case, I said, we ought to send the message back to Earth and ask whether anyone can vouch for Mr. Laszlo.
We could do that, Paul said. But no matter what we hear back, we should stick to the original mission. If we'd wanted to just cannonball into the planet, there wouldn't be any need for a human crew and all this lovely life support.
He held up a forkful of mushroom.
We could have just put an autonomous AI pilot on the iceberg and set it loose. But we are on board, and in charge, and we'll do what we're supposed to do.
He looked around the table.
So I second Carmen's idea. Send the message back and see what the reaction is. But continue on regardless. Is everyone in favor of that?
People nodded and shrugged.
Moonboy said, it's not as if they could do anything to us, right? I mean, there's no way they could set up another starship and have it overtake us before we got back to Wolf 25. No, Paul said. Even if they had an identical iceberg in place and all the people and resources, they couldn't catch up with us. We're already going 2/10 the speed of light.
They couldn't catch us with a starship and crew, Namir said. But they could catch us with a probe. A bomb.
Always Mr. Sunshine, his wife said.